We are in our, I hate to say it, we're in our summer series still. We went a little bit longer than we had anticipated, but we'll be finishing up in a week or so here. We've been looking at discipleship, what it means to be a disciple is how we started, and we talked a lot about that. Then we started talking just about the steps. We have our steps of growth, and these are just some foundational things that help us in our Christian life if we will make them a part of our life. We're at number 7. Talked about number 1, it starts with salvation, being saved. Number 2, we grow through being devoted to Christ and spending time with Him. Then we talked about being connected with others through our Sunday morning adult Bible classes, friends in the church and so forth. Then we talked about making a commitment to church through church membership. Then we talked about personal discipleship, just growing on our own. And of course, we have a discipleship class we encourage you to go through. We're kind of going through it here, but it's more in depth than what we do on Thursday nights. Number 7 we ended at last time. We just basically mentioned it and got started. Serving others in the church. We have loving God, loving others, serving God. The last part is serving others. We looked at these verses last time, several weeks ago. Let's read them together, not out loud, but you can read in your mind. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 13. For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty, only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh. And here's how we're supposed to live. But by love, serve one another. Okay? Our lives must be lives lived of love, not just for God, but love for others. And we show that love for others by being willing to serve them. Okay? We'll explain more of that as we go through the points here. And then Matthew chapter 5, verse 14 and 16, it says, ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick. And it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. See, we're not supposed to hide the fact that we are a Christian. And we don't necessarily need to jump up on a bullhorn to let everybody know we're a Christian. Now, we need to let them, as we get to know them, that we know the Lord so we can talk to them about the Lord. But one thing they should do is they should see by the way we act, by the works that we do, that we really do love God, and there is something different about us, not different about us because of us, different because of what God has done in our life. And people will see that in the fact that we serve others, and we say primarily through the church. So let's go through the points. This is all new. Letter A. We need to understand this. God saved us to serve Him. Okay? That's pretty point blank. You say, well, I thought God saved me so I could go to heaven. Absolutely. But if that was the only end game to being saved, then what would be the purpose of us living on this earth once we've met Jesus Christ? Yeah. Wouldn't it just be better if we just got, you know, we did the Elijah thing and He just shot us straight up into heaven and it was all good? No, God has a plan for us on this earth. And a big part of that plan is us serving others. Yep. Let's look at some verses. Titus chapter 2, verse 13 and 14 says, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for us, that He might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto Himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. Now, He's talking here about that hope that we have, the resurrection and the time we meet Jesus Christ. And by the way, some want to believe you go through the tribulation before you get raptured, and that wouldn't be a blessed hope at all. I don't think they understand the tribulation, whether they say halfway or halfway plus 65 days or whatever nonsense they're trying to get, okay? And they're misinterpreting the Bible because they're usually replacement theology, and that's a lot of their problem there, but that's not where we're going tonight. But after He talks about that, He talks about our salvation. He gave Himself for us that He might redeem us. But then when He says all that after salvation, what does He mention? He might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people. Now, some of you nail that right off the bat, okay, the peculiar part. The peculiar doesn't mean odd. And I've met some Christians sometimes that are odd, okay? I don't think that's what God's talking about. In other words, we will be different because Christ is living in us and we're living for him. And in the eyes of the world, that'll be different, peculiar. He says we'll be peculiar, but look what he says at the end. Zealous of good works. So in the context, talking about right after salvation, we're going to be different, and we should be zealous of good works. Do you know, people are zealous about a lot of things, right? People are zealous about their hobbies, and there's nothing wrong with having a hobby. People are zealous about their sports team. Although if you root for the right team, you won't have to worry about that because they'll be so horrible, you know, if you're a Raider fan or something like that. But their whole life is their team. It used to be, you know, back in the day, you know, the season was over and it's like, all right, we'll see you next year and I hope my team does better. But now it's like everybody's cued into the draft and who are they trading for and who are they firing, and they talk about it 24/7. It's like, how much can you talk about? Let's just get to next year. But we're zealous about a lot of things. But he says we should be zealous about doing good works. Okay? Serving God, working for him, doing things to be a help and a blessing to other people. Look at Ephesians chapter 2, verses 5 to 10. Now, these are are very prototypical verses about salvation. Even when we were dead in sins, verse 5, which we were before we met Christ, hath quickened us together with him, with Christ. Quickened means to be brought back to life. For by grace are you saved through faith. And hath raised us up together and made us sit in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness towards us through Jesus Christ. For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God. You know what he's saying in verse 9? Not of works, lest any man should boast. He makes it very clear. There is nothing that you or I or anybody in this world can do to go to heaven. That's works. By the way, if it was works, we could boast, right? I mean, we could get to heaven and say, wow, I'm here because I was good enough, or I was did this or I did that and I made it. When we get to heaven, we'll never be able to say that. We will very meekly and humbly thank God for the fact that he saved us and we are in heaven. And that's what, and it has nothing to do. It's for by his grace are we saved through faith. And it has nothing to do with us. Now, after that, right after that, he mentions our purpose for after we're saved. Look at verse 10. For we are his workmanship. The word workmanship means new product. Created in Christ Jesus, what's the next three words? Unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. In other words, in eternity past, what God's whole plan and he ordained for us is that right after we get saved, what we ought to do is to be involved in good works. That's what God wants us to be. That's why we are new in Christ. We're not a trophy to be polished up for everybody to see and say, wow, I remember how he used to be and God changed his life. And thank God that he can change our life. And thank God that someone would notice. But it's not to be a trophy. It's for a reason. Now we're saved. God says, I want you to be zealous, as he mentioned in Titus, and he's created us in Christ Jesus to do good works. And both of these are mentioned in the context right after salvation. You know, we always talk about God's got a plan for your life, and God does. I believe very clearly that if you're saved, God has a plan for your life. You say, well, what is it? I have no idea. I'm kidding. I don't know all of it. I know this. Whatever the Bible tells us to do, I know that's what God wants us to do. So that right there is taken care of. But the particulars are different for each person. You know, if you're single, God has somebody specific that he wants you to marry. Good luck finding them, okay? You know, God will lead you. If you're serving him, God will bring that right person. God has a career or a job, or he has all of that for us. But he also has for us to do work for him, to serve him. Okay? The Christian life isn't just about receiving. Now, you do receive a lot. And never feel guilty for that. I mean, you read Ephesians, really that's what Ephesians is about, the riches we have in Jesus Christ because we are part of his family, the spiritual riches we have. But more than that, it's also what can we do? In other words, that gift of salvation that we open up, we're saved, we open it up, inside of there are a lot of things, and one of the things inside of there is the fact that he wants us to serve him. And that, by the way, and we'll get into it later, that's where fulfillment comes into. You say, well, why do I serve him? Is that just, it's funny. He says in the verses that there's nothing we can do to get salvation, but once we have salvation, we ought to do some things. Not to be saved, but because we are saved. And so that's a great thing. If we're not serving others some way in the church, you are not fulfilling one of the purposes for your life after salvation. Okay? You're not. And by the way, it's a great blessing. When I first started going to church, I went for 6 months, and I just soaked up everything because not growing up in a Christian home and only going to church a couple times in my life before that, I was behind. And I'm reading my Bible, and I was growing as a Christian. I was in all the services, and I was learning, and I was growing, and I was really excited about that. But about that six-month mark, I heard the pastor talk about getting involved in serving. And I realized that's the next step I needed to do. And I was a single young man and out of high school and, you know, not married or whatever yet. And so I hopped in. I'm like, okay, what can I do? And I got in. I started helping in a Sunday school class. And they kind of got me in there to kind of horse collar me. And within a few months, I'm teaching, you know. And I was teaching, I was teaching five-year-olds. I pity those 4 or 5-year-olds for a while there because I had no idea what I was doing. How many of you remember Flannel Graph? Do any of you remember that? They had these Bible stories, and it was like a cotton thing, and they had these little animals, and they would, like, stick to the cotton as you told the story. And that first lesson, I had no idea what to do. And I think it was Daniel's in the lion's den, and I think I had the lion upside down. It was horrific. But after a while, I kind of got the hang of it. I'm like, I enjoy being with these kids. And then someone corralled me into getting on a bus route. Now, they asked me to go one time. They said, we had a special day, and we had 120 on our bus route. George had 111. I hope they weren't all on one bus because that's illegal, and he would never do that. But they had 120, and they said, can you help us take the kids home? And I'm like, all right, I'll help. Now, back in the days, they weren't as strict with the rules. They didn't have the rules. And we had like a 56-passenger bus with 120 kids in the middle of the summer. Say, how was the air conditioning? Non-existent. And I rode on that bus one time, and the captain said, you coming back? I'm like, you've got to be kidding. No, you couldn't pay me to do this. I'll never do this again, ever. I don't like kids. I was the last kid in our family. I didn't have younger brothers and sisters. Why in the world would I like kids? And like 3 months later, here I'm on a bus route. The captain's can't work it anymore, and here I am running a bus route. And I'm like, great, how'd that happen? I loved it. Just got involved. And I just found things. You know why it was fulfilling? Now I went to a rest home ministry, helping. We would go after our morning service. We'd run our buses. I'd grab lunch, and then we would go to a rest home, like a retirement home out in Cerritos or Cyprus or somewhere out there, and we would have services for them because they couldn't have services. We'd come back. And listen, it's fulfilling because it's one of the purposes for which we're saved. And so when you get involved and start doing things, man, it made church more exciting too, by the way. Okay? Being on a bus route was exciting for all the wrong reasons. Those kids were nuts. My very first time, we pick up these kids over on PCH. We were North Long Beach, and we're running down, and I'm new. And this kid gets on there, and it's like we're driving down the road, getting on the freeway, and the kid grabs someone's Bible and just chucks it out the window, right in the freeway. And I'm like, wow, this is what I signed up for, right? But it was a blessing, okay? Serving, because God has saved us to serve. Letter B, and this goes with it. Those who serve are those who are joyful. Those who serve are those who are joyful. Now, that's probably not worded right. It makes you think you have to be joyful to serve, okay? What I mean by that is when you serve, there is joy in that. Acts, now, we always quote this during Stewardship Month. We probably quoted it at number six, giving, all right? But it's more than that. I have showed you all things. How that's so laboring, you ought to support the weak. Acts 20, 35 there. And to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. Give what? Give anything. Give your time. You know, when someone gives their time to help you with something, that's a blessing, is it not? But it's more of a blessing when you give your time to help somebody else. That's where joy comes from. Acts 20, 24. But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, that I might finish my course with joy. What course? And the ministry, which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. You see, Paul, and really all the Christians, they had their course to follow, their purpose in life, their specific that God wanted them to do, serving him. And he says, I'm going to finish my course with joy. Now, some people finish their course, period, right? You ever set like you're going to, look, you run a marathon, I'm sure after 26 and a half miles, you're excited you won, but I don't know how much joy you're going to feel. You're probably going to feel tired. But you finish your course. You're serving him. And when you get to the end, you're man, I'm joyful. Look, people want to do things that make a difference. They want to leave, they want to leave something behind. In a small way, you can leave something behind when you serve others. Because if you can make a difference in your life, or you could just be an encouragement, or you're just a help, you have made a difference. Whether you just do something around here in the church, and maybe it's something that's not really noticed, background. Okay, we see the Sunday school teachers. We see the choir members. We see all of them. Do you necessarily see the people that clean the restrooms? No, but you're probably glad they did. People that clean up, people that change the diapers of the young ones here, keep them content and happy so they can be in a room that they would feel comfortable and playing instead of being in a service that they can't, they're not going to get anything out of. Joy comes from those who are serving. Church can become a drag if all we do is see it as an obligation instead of an opportunity for action. Okay? I'm not here to get everybody to have, I tell you, I did a bunch of different things in the early days because I was a young single guy. I had time. So I just jumped in. They needed something, the hand went up, right? Because I had time to do it. During the summer, they had a day school and the kids came in, they paid them, they took them to activities. I just go down there and volunteer, help them take the kids to activities or whatever needed to be done. I'm not saying everybody needs to have 100 jobs. I'm not saying that, but you ought to find someplace. Okay? And you'll have joy, and church will be exciting. You've heard it said over and over. Don't just sit sour and don't sit soaking sour. Okay, so that's that. Letter C. God has equipped you to serve him. God has equipped you to serve him. Look at Romans chapter 12, verse 4. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office. So we, being many, are one body in Christ, and everyone members one of another. In other words, the church is pictured like a body, okay? We have different parts in our body, hand, fingers, foot, toes, whatever. They're all different, but they all work together, and they all perform a very vital function. And so they all work together, differing but yet working and making a difference. Verse 6, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, Whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to proportion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministering, or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation, he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity, he that ruleth with diligence, he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. And we've went through these different gifts. They're all different gifts, and God uses us based on our gift. I say this, and it's not jokingly, but listen, we have greeters in the church, and they stand at certain places, and someone comes in, and they say, hello. That was a guy that used to go to our church many years ago, Penn, okay? I think he moved out of state or something, but Penn didn't talk. Now, if there was a fight, you wanted Penn on your side. Penn was like a rock. And back in the early days of our church, when we were down in the inner city, we had the gangs coming in and out of the church. We had some issues, and Penn was the guy to help clean things up. We had a fight one time. A couple of gang guys came, and he had both of them. He had a hand of both of them, and he drug them to me. And he said, peace at my church. And he turned them over to me, like, deal with it. And he walked away. He didn't talk. If he said six words in a day, that was a lot for Penn. I'm not going to make Penn a greeter. He'd just look at you. Like, take the bulletin before I break your arm. You know, he wasn't that type of guy. But now, here's somebody, they love to talk to people. That's their gift. I mean, they can make people feel comfortable. Guess what? They should be a greeter. Okay? Penn should be a bouncer. Kind of the same thing, just different. But God has given each and every one of us gifts. You could think of them in the sense of talents, okay? What God has, you know, gifted you at, what you're good at, what you like doing. And that's where God will help you to serve more effectively. How can we do that? Well, I don't know if this is in your paper. You should know your gifts and talents. Now, in a spiritual sense, in our discipleship classes, we have a test you can take. It just asks you some questions, and you be honest about them, and you answer. It kind of helps you to know where you're at and what you would be successful at doing. Find best where to use them, and don't shy away from using them in the church. You know, if we need something that needs to be fixed mechanically, we don't want you to volunteer just because you have a good heart. We want you to have a good heart, but we want you to know how to use a wrench. Okay? Because that doesn't help. Can you fix it? No, but I'll take a shot at it. No, thank you. Because I know how that works. Now it's worse than before, right? You try to fix something, it's like, hey, are there supposed to be extra pieces? No, there's not. And so find your place and get involved. Letter D. Serving helps you to be plugged in. Serving helps you to be plugged in. Okay? Look at the verse, Titus. It says, this is a faithful saying. This is a faithful saying. And these things I will that thou affirm constantly, that they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. Look what he does say. These things are good and profitable unto men. Good and profitable unto men. It's helpful. It helps us to feel a part. It's good and profitable. I think it's good and profitable just not for the person that you're helping. I think it's good and profitable for the person who is helping. You know, you want to be a part of something. The best way to really feel a part of something is to jump in. Yes, to give of yourself to it. Because then you have a vested interest. See, if someone comes to church, you know, you come and you start attending, and then if a person likes a church, they become a member. What's the next step? Well, there's different steps. One of the steps ought to be, hey, I want to find my place to do something in the church. And then you feel more a part of what's going on. Serving will hit you, get plugged in, because you're not just sitting. You're being active. You're getting involved with others. And because of that, you're more fulfilled. And by the way, what happens sometimes, you'll have a person and they got to church and they've been involved in what the church is doing. And for whatever reason, maybe they're not as able to be involved as much. You inevitably will hear them say this: I just don't feel as close to the church as I used to feel. Well, what has happened is you're not able, you're not fulfilled. You're not doing something. So you don't have that contact with people. And God wants us to have that. Letter E. Serving others is serving Jesus. Serving others is serving Jesus. I'm not going to go through the whole parable, but we will read this key verse. Matthew chapter 25 and verse 40. And the king shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, in so much as you have done it on one of the least of these, my brethren, ye have done it unto me. Now, it's an interesting story. Jesus is given the story, and I've mentioned it before, where a king is talking to his subjects, and he's saying, hey, thank you for coming to see me when I was sick. Thank you for giving me food when I was hungry. Thank you for giving me clothes when I didn't have clothes. Thank you for visiting me when I was in prison. And as he mentioned these things, the people notice and say, wait a minute, you're the king. None of those things has ever been true of you. You've never been in prison. You have all the food you want. You don't need clothes. Just go down the line. And then Jesus gives the principle. In so much if you have done it unto one of the least of these, his subjects, my brethren, ye have done it unto me. Now think about that. He's saying, if you help anybody in my kingdom that way, I'm equating it to the fact to be the same as if you had done it for me. Now, if you think about that, that's pretty powerful. Yeah. Anytime we are trying to help somebody for Christ's sake, and we serve or do something, Jesus says it's really, in essence, it's the same thing as serving him. We can serve Jesus. How do you serve Jesus? You know, when you're in the nursery and you're watching those children, in essence, you're watching Jesus. Now, we don't want to take it too far, though, okay? You're not going to change Jesus' diaper. But you know what I'm saying? Because you're doing it for him. And he says, listen, I know you're doing it for the children there. And I know you're doing it for the sake of the people in the auditorium so they don't have to worry about the children, you know, screaming at the wrong time and not enjoying the service. But you're also doing it for me. That's called motive. Because I'll be honest with you, and we all could be honest, if I'm doing something for people, people can be irritating. Right? Like, forget you, I ain't helping you. That's not a good spirit to have. But if we're doing something for the Lord, we'll get through those frustrations. Because like, you know what? I'm not doing it because someone gives me a pat on the back. I'm not doing it because I help somebody and they come back and they're thankful. I'm doing it because I'm doing it for the Lord. And not everybody will be thankful, even Jesus. He healed the 10 lepers. I mean, he changed their life. A leper's life was not good. They were off all by themselves, never be with their family ever again. They had to live in a colony with other lepers until they died, and Jesus healed them, which means they could go back to their family. They can have their life back. They would live now. And you know how many came back to say thanks to Jesus? 1 out of 10. Now, what did Jesus say? Fine. I ain't healing anybody ever again. No. And we can't have that. We should serve people. We can help them in the nursery. We can help Jesus by teaching a Sunday school class. There's so many things we can get involved with. Did you know you could give Jesus a ride to church? Okay? Whether you do it in the bus ministry or you meet somebody. I met people. You know, in the early days of the church, our family bought a 15-passenger van. When we started our Sunday school class, we had a van route for our adult Sunday school class. We had a guy, Mike. I drove it for a while. I'm like, you're driving it now. Come on over here. You can serve. And he'd go pick up families that needed rides, bring them into church. Okay? And so we can do that. But we got to think, we're doing it for Jesus. By the way, you can sing to him. Some of you, not very well, all right? Me, not very well at all. Now, Jesus must have these supersonic ears that can, like, filter out the bad and make it sound good, because he does tell us to sing to him. You can sing. Listen, if you have a singing voice at all, you ought to be in the choir, okay? Just be in the choir. Serve Jesus that way. I would love to be in the choir, but it would be painful for everybody involved, all right? We can serve. Maybe you can sing a special. Maybe you can be part of our orchestra or sing in the church. You can play an instrument for him. You can clean for him. We have sometimes people that they're retired and they have a lot of free time and they want to find something to do. Come volunteer a little bit around here. We'll help you with that. You can buy Jesus a meal. You can greet him, make him feel whatever you're doing. If you're doing everything with the right attitude, like, you know, I'm not going to do it for myself. I'm going to do it because I want to do it for the Lord. I want to do it for the right reason. Jesus says, in essence, you're doing it for me. Letter F. No one is exempt from serving. Nobody is exempt from serving. 1 Timothy 6, 17, 18. Says, charge, now he's talking to the rich, but the principle applies. Look what he says. Charge them that are rich in this world. The charge doesn't mean, you know, financially. Charge. Like, give them a challenge. That are rich in this world, several things. That they be not high-minded, which when you have money, you have a tendency to, that's a weakness you could have. Nor trust in uncertain riches. You have money, so you're going to trust in that instead of the God who provided the money. But in the living God, which giveth us richly all things to enjoy. That they do good. Now look what he says the next one. That they be rich in good works. So when you have money, you're used to paying people to do the things you don't want to do. And if you're not careful, you get proud and you're too good to do certain things. But he says, you charge them that don't be proud and be rich in good works. Just because you have money, you're not exempt. The point is, he wants everybody to be involved in some way. And then letter G, and we'll stop, because I want to finish this point. Do what you need to do so you can serve. Do what you need to do so you can serve. There are many things. There's things that we can get involved with here that are not a big deal, that are just basic things. But there are some things that we have some minimum requirements if you're going to serve in certain positions. Because in certain positions, people are going to look up to you and they're going to equate you with the church, and we have to fulfill minimum requirements, which is true of basically any job. What are some of the basics? You must be saved and baptized. Okay, someone wants to serve in the church here, of course they have to be saved. You have to be a member. Okay, can't serve in the church if you're not a member of the church. You can. I mean, you want to come to a job site, we'll take that any day of the week. But you can do certain things. But if you really want to be involved in a ministry here, a weekly, regular, doing something, being a part of what's going on, we would expect you, of course, to be a member. We would want you to go through our discipleship class. Okay? That's just a class we do on Thursdays. It's partially like this, but it has other things, and you go through with somebody, and they during this time, you would go out and they would talk to you and teach you some of the things we believe and so forth. I would tell you, make sure you find your spot and meet the requirements. And so God wants us to serve him. Let's